Please remain standing and pray with me. Almighty God, we come before you today as we do every Sunday to offer thanks and praise. But Father, especially our praise and thanksgiving is focused this day as we celebrate 1 year in this new building. And so, Lord, I give you great thanks. I praise you. We praise you. And we ask that you would come and be among your people. Feed us, through word and sacrament this morning, so that we might go from here, people marked by gratitude, to bear witness to the good news of Jesus. And so we commend ourselves to your love and care. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Christ Church. Well, today we celebrate a wonderful milestone, as we've already heard, 1 year in our new church home. We've seen and continue to see the fruit of faith, prayer, and generosity in response to God's radically generous provision of this place. I mean, for those of you who've been here for 2 or 3 years at least, who would have thought we'd have been here 3 years ago? God has been so faithful to us, so faithful. Over and over again, we've seen his faithfulness, we've seen his provision, we've witnessed answered prayers. We prayed for a new building for years so that we might be able to more hospitably welcome, lovingly care, and faithfully catechize those folks whom God would bring to our church. And many of you here this morning, you've joined us in this last year. You are an answer to God's prayer that we prayed and had prayed for years. We're so grateful to God for you being here. And for the folks that have been here for years, so grateful to God for your continued faithfulness in this place. You are an answer to prayer. We also prayed for a new building that would allow us to deepen and expand our worship, our fellowship, our growth in Christ, and our witness in this city. And we've only begun to see the ways that God will answer that prayer. And I am so excited for the ways that he will reveal to us what he's already doing and what he will reveal to us as we continue to step out and follow him by faith. He has answered these prayers and so many more, not only collectively for our church, but also individually in the lives of people here. Lives have been transformed, and we are so grateful to God for that. And today, like the leper from our gospel lesson who returned and fell at the feet of Jesus, we come back today to our Lord to say thank you. You're awesome. We praise you. Yet our gospel lesson also carries a gentle warning, one that we need to hear. I know I need to hear it. Gratitude must not give way to complacency. Gratitude must not give way to complacency. As we reflect on all the good things that God's provided for us in this last year, Jesus' question from verse 18 confronts us. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? You see, every blessing that God gives bears a responsibility. A responsibility to return to the feet of Jesus, to fall down to our face, to praise and give him thanks. Give him thanks for all that he's done. You see, gratitude is one of the simplest yet most powerful expressions of our Christian faith. It's quite literally at the center and climax of our worship every Sunday. In a world full of noise, stress, and self-focus, gratitude eucharistically recenters our hearts on God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. In our lesson from Luke chapter 17, Jesus encounters 10 men with leprosy. 10 lives trapped in isolation, pain, shame, despair, hopelessness. But in one miraculous encounter with Jesus, everything changes for them. Yet only one man returns to say thank you. And in that simple act of that one man, we find the heart of true worship. We find gratitude. Gratitude begins with recognizing God as the answer to our deepest needs and our deepest desires. Look with me at verses 12 and 13 if you have the text in front of you. And as he, Jesus, entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, because that's what you do when you have leprosy. You stand at a distance, you're isolated. Who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The 10 lepers began in a posture of desperation born out of their great need. They knew they needed mercy. I love the way they phrase that, have mercy on us. They knew they needed God's mercy. They knew they needed healing. And when they saw Jesus, they knew that in some way, he was the answer to their deepest need, to their greatest longing. They realized, however imperfectly, what the psalmist declared in verse 9 of Psalm 107. God satisfies the empty soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. When Christchurch recognized its need for new space years ago, it was a need that was beyond us. We were a small church that sought greater responsibility in the vineyard of our God, in the work of his kingdom here in Winston-Salem. God was continuing to bless us with new folks, entrusting us with new souls to care for, to integrate into our family, and to love as Christ has taught us. And we called out in prayer to God saying, if you want us to receive and care for more folks, then Lord, make a way. Open a door. Provide what we cannot. And he did. He absolutely did. He answered our prayers. He brought us together and gave us a vision to deepen our roots in Christ and in this city for his glory and for the life of those that we come in contact with, the life of our neighbors. And then he provided us this place so that we might invite and welcome the lost and the wounded, the weary and the wandering to know Jesus personally, to encounter him and meet him in word, in sacrament, in the life of his people, his body. So that together we can deepen our roots in Christ, who is our life-giving soil. But the danger, once the miracle has come, and we see this in our gospel text, is to forget how desperate and needy we once were and still are. The danger is that we forget that it is God who's given us everything. This place, our lives, our families, our very salvation. The 9 lepers remind us that it's easy to become complacent while experiencing profound blessing. To receive mercy and grace, and then to move on as if it were earned or expected. Christ Church, let us never forget that all we have, this building, this church family, our lives, our great salvation in Christ, the kingdom of God, is the result of God's mercy, not our merit. We do not deserve this church. We do not deserve the grace and the mercy of Christ. Yet God acts. He heals. He restores. He gives. So gratitude begins by recognizing God as the answer to our deepest needs and desires, but it grows as we practice the obedience of faith. Look at verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, he gives them a command, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus asked the lepers to act before they received healing. He's so profound. Before they saw any evidence of God's mercy, of Christ's mercy on them, he gives them a command to go. Their healing came as they went. Faith in Jesus moved them to obey him before they ever received and experienced the miracle. In the same way, over the last 2 or 3 years, we have followed, from the very beginning of this church, we have followed God's direction. And at times, we didn't know where God was going to lead or how he would provide for this or for that. And when we did step out and follow his direction, however imperfectly, whenever we did walk where he directed, we found that in every moment, we have found that in every moment, God has met us to provide just what we need in that moment. You know what? I love to have everything figured out for the rest of my life. I would love that. I can remember when I was going through my ordination and we had to write an autobiography, and I can remember being chastised looking back over my life and figuring out at every moment where I saw God act, I would fill out the entirety of my life. You're calling me to this? Okay. Well, here's the plan, God. Just give me everything now. Give me the full vision now. But often God doesn't work like that. One step at a time. One step at a time. I'll give you clarity on this one step. And then I'll provide for it when you step out. One step at a time. So faithful to us. At every step of the way, God has given exactly what we needed in that moment. From an open door to come into this place with a financial provision to walk through it and to own the keys. But once again, in the midst of God's great provision, we must beware of the subtle danger of complacency. Faith that once acted boldly can grow passive when life feels secure. We do not want to be a church that feels secure in God's blessing and grows complacent. 9 lepers kept walking. They never turned back to recognize God in their midst. They failed to see that the presence of God was there in the person of Jesus. He's the one that deserved their obedience. He's the one that deserved their thanks. Christchurch, too often our obedience ends at our comfort. It ends at the boundary of what we feel like is blessing. These 9 Jewish lepers were comfortable with the way things were. They were comfortable with the Old Testament. Yeah, I'll go do the thing. I'll go to the priest and I'm done. I'm healed. They failed to return and to acknowledge that God's kingdom was present in Jesus. That's Luke's point in 8:17 and 18, that God's kingdom is present in Jesus. They were unwilling to step out of their comfort, out of their typical patterns and ways in order to return to Jesus and fall at his feet in humble submission and gratitude. There was no gratitude with these 9. I can say that because what would you do if your entire life had been ripped from you and you were in utter isolation from your closest family, from the worship of your God, from everything, and one man comes into your life and he heals you? Would you not be shouting with joy coming back to him and giving him thanks? Maybe not. And because there was no gratitude, these men were not made whole. They were healed, but they were not whole. The seed was planted, but the roots did not grow. Christ Church, we must allow our gratitude to God to compel us to go deeper, beyond our comfort, beyond the felt sense of blessing, to go deeper in faith, deeper in knowledge, deeper in generosity, deeper in service, deeper in sacrifice, deeper in love for one another and for God. So gratitude begins with recognizing God as the answer to our deepest needs and desires. It grows as we practice the obedience of faith. And gratitude reaches its fulfillment when we return to worship at Jesus' feet. Look at verses 15 and 16. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Remember, they were healed as they were walking to the priest. He looks down and his leprosy is gone, and he turns around and with a loud voice praises God, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Ouch to the Jewish reader. Only one of the 10 returned. And in his return, we see the true heart of gratitude. He didn't just enjoy the blessing, he was healed. He turned back to thank the giver of the blessing. This Samaritan, this foreigner, recognized what the Jewish lepers did not. He recognized that in Jesus, God's kingdom has come. The king is here. And so, what do you do when the king is there and he's blessing you? You return, you fall at his feet, face down, and you offer him thanks for his kindness, for his mercy. This 1 year anniversary for us is a moment to turn back, to come back to the feet of Jesus, to fall there and say, Lord, this is all your doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. We are blown away at how gracious you have been to us. Thank you. The Samaritan's thanksgiving was loud. He lifted up his voice. It was heartfelt. It was public. And it was personal. That's what our gratitude should look like. It should be visible and joyful and overflowing, exuberant. You see, today is not simply about remembering the provision of this building. It's about rededicating our hearts to the one who made it possible. Realigning ourselves through gratitude to the very heart of our God who loves us and gave his Son for us, and Jesus who loves us and gave his life for us. So gratitude begins with recognizing God is the answer to our deepest desires, our deepest needs. It grows as we practice the obedience of faith. It reaches fulfillment when we return to the feet of Jesus in worship. Yet through all of it, gratitude transforms our faith from beginning to end of that process. Look at verse 19. And Jesus said to him, "Rise." That's the word for resurrection. Rise from the dead and go your way. Your life, your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. The word there is salvation, to save. Your faith has made you well. All 10 lepers were healed physically, but only one was made whole. The difference wasn't in what Jesus offered. He offered all the grace and mercy to them to find full wholeness in him. The difference was found in what this man did. He returned to give thanks. Gratitude transforms faith from transactional to relational. Gratitude transforms faith from transactional to relational. This one man knew that Jesus was the answer. And he wanted to be a part of what he was doing. It takes faith from thank you for this gift to say thank you for your presence. This faith leads to wholeness and to true salvation. For us, the story of this new facility isn't just about walls, windows, pews, or fellowship halls, plural. It's about God shaping our hearts for deeper faith, for deeper intimacy in relationship with him. If it's not about that, if it's not about growing more deeply in love with Jesus and sharing that love with others, let's go back to Queen Street. It has to be about that. When we live in gratitude, we don't just buy or build buildings, we build people. We build relationships with God and with one another, defined by love, as we're called to every week. We grow deeper roots that nourish worship, that cultivate faith, hope, and love, and that compel us to tell others that they can know Jesus too. Do you think this man kept it to himself? I'm sure he went home and told his family what Jesus did. I'm sure he told all his friends. I'm sure he told his whole village what Jesus had done for him. You can know him too, the one who healed me, but made me new. When Jesus asked in verse 18, "Where are the nine?" It wasn't just a question about forgetfulness. It was a warning about complacency. The nine experienced God's power, but missed his presence. They received a gift, but neglected the giver. They were satisfied with the surface reality of things, but they missed the great, profound depth of mystery in relationship with Jesus. Christ Church, complacency can settle in quietly after experiencing the blessing of God. It can whisper in our ears and in our hearts, we've arrived. We've done enough now. But God calls us to go deeper. Deeper roots means continued presence and dependence on Jesus. Deeper roots means renewed obedience daily. Deeper roots means risking and sacrificing much for the gospel. And for the King and his kingdom, deeper roots means daily practicing gratitude. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Let us guard our hearts then. The same God who brought us here still calls us to move forward, growing more deeply in him, depending on him more and more, trusting in his presence minute by minute, growing in intimacy with him in each opportunity where he speaks and acts in our lives and we trust him. Will we be the one or will we be the nine? As we celebrate 1 year in this church home, may we hear Jesus' question afresh. Where are the nine? And let us be the one who returns. Let us be the one who kneels and falls to our face at his feet, expressing our gratitude and thanks. Let us be the church that never stops thanking, never stops worshiping, never stops loving, never stops pursuing the King and his kingdom. In this city and at this time. Today we give God the glory for his faithfulness and we commit ourselves to deeper roots of gratitude, faith, hope, love, and gospel mission. This building stands now for us as a memorial, Stella, as a testimony not only of what God has done for us, but what he will continue to do for us as we step out in faith with hearts full of gratitude, coming to worship him with praise and thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.